All right, welcome to your Newsmax Daily for a Friday, April 19th, 2024. 4/19/24, the third of four Fridays this month. And we kick it off with more war in the Middle East as Israel retaliates to Iran's attack on the Holy Land last weekend, which was in response to Israel killing several members of Iran's Revolutionary Guard a few weeks before that, as part of its war with Hamas, which attacked Israel on October 7th, killing more than 1,200 Israelis and foreign nationals. And now Iran says it will fight back after the Israeli strike on its country. So you see where all this is going, all while the Biden administration continuously warned each country against retaliation and encouraged diplomacy, which they are still doing.
I'm not going to speak to these reported events. All I can say is that for our part and for the entire G7, our focus has been on de-escalation, on avoiding a larger conflict.
That is Secretary of State Antony Blinken at the G7 meetings in Italy.
The United States has not been involved in any offensive operations. What we're focused on, what the G7 is focused on, and again, it's reflected in our statement and in our conversation, is our work to de-escalate.
Well, in case you haven't noticed, it's not working. And by the way, Blinken and G7 ministers are meeting at a posh hotel on the island of Capri in Italy, one of the most beautiful places in the world. President Biden headed to his Delaware home for the weekend, presumably to get some rest. And former President Donald Trump will be home resting after a week in court. Wrong. Donald Trump rest. Never. He'll be hosting a rally in beautiful Wilmington, North Carolina, Saturday night, tomorrow night. You can see it all on Newsmax. Here he is outside the courtroom yesterday.
The whole world is watching this hoax. You got a DA that's out of control. You have a judge that's highly conflicted. The whole thing is a mess, and you have the leading candidate and leading crooked Joe Biden by a lot. He's the one that should be in trial. He's a crook. You got a crooked president. He should be in trial with all the stuff he's done and his family. He should be in trial. But he's the one in charge.
And here is Greg Kelly with more on the Trump trial.
You know what? Look, in America, I don't have a problem with some of the people who showed up for jury duty. I don't. The ones who are honest, the ones who said that they were biased, and yeah, that's kind of to be commended. There are people out there, unlike the judge, who know that they're not impartial.
Personally, I do not like him at all. I don't approve of a lot of what he has done as president, but I think that the right to a fair trial in this country is incredibly important.
If there's a reason that you don't think you could be impartial, or that you could be perceived as biased, that you should raise your hand. So I raised my hand.
What happened? Why were you dismissed?
Because I couldn't be impartial.
You couldn't be impartial. So when the judge asked that hand, can you be impartial, you raised your hand and you said you cannot.
Exactly.
And good for her. Good for all of them. The judge, as he's asking these questions, he's the one. It should have dawned on him. What am I doing? I'm a complete hypocrite. I am totally and completely conflicted. I can't do this. You know, if the judge came in as a juror and he said, hey, you know, my daughter works in politics and I gave money to Joe Biden, it's by a matter of logic, he can't be a juror. Therefore, he can't be a judge. But he is, and he drew up this rigged questionnaire. You heard about the questionnaire? Totally skewed, totally strange. Now, one thing, Newsmax is mentioned. I love it. They want to know if anybody gets their news from a bunch of different sources, including Newsmax. All right. What else is in there? Oh, a list. Do you currently follow any anti-Trump or organization on any social media site, or have you done so in the past? And then they list a bunch of, well, I mean, let's face it, pretty hardcore groups out there. But they don't mention anything about Joe Biden. They don't mention anything about Black Lives Matter. You know, if you are for Biden, you're kind of automatically against Trump. Anyway, I talked to some legal experts. This thing is skewed and designed to find a biased jury, as if we didn't have enough problems. Anyway, they'll get through it, but we've got to help in any way we can. And I don't know, maybe it's writing a check. Maybe it's think about it.
That's Greg Kelly, host of Greg Kelly Reports. Check him out tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern. And Laura Trump, co-chair of the RNC, spoke with Rob Schmidt.
As of this morning, more than 50 potential jurors were dismissed. 50. After admitting they could not be fair and impartial. So who's made it on the jury at this point? Well, clearly the best actors have made it on. In Manhattan, every single person knows who Donald Trump is. 9 out of 10 did not vote for him. And believe me when I tell you, as somebody that lives here, a vast majority of them would love to see this man behind bars, whether he committed a crime or not. That's the truth about the jury pool that Trump is facing in this felony trial. Scary. Laura Trump joins us now. Good to have you back on. Their defiance to, at the very least, move this ridiculous trial somewhere else makes it very clear that they have a mission and they're sticking to the mission, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, they know, Rob, if they actually move this trial to any other area of this country, maybe save for like a San Francisco of sorts, yeah, you would possibly get a fair trial, and let alone this wouldn't even see the light of day. You have to think about the fact that this is a case where they're alleging that there was some sort of an accounting error. There was somebody who wrote down in an accounting ledger the wrong information, and that is why they are holding hostage Donald Trump, the former president and current Republican nominee, in a courtroom. This has never been about anything that is fair. We all know that. This is about making sure that they can keep Donald Trump off the campaign trail. This is about making sure that for any American who might think about voting for him, hey, you better think twice. Here's a picture of Donald Trump in a courtroom. And yeah, if they could throw him in jail and lock him up, great. That's what they're all gunning for. But you see the way that people are responding here, Rob.
Right.
The American people are not buying it. The campaign in the 3 days that Donald Trump has been forced to sit in that courtroom raised $3 million, $26 increments and in those donations. It means people are behind him and they're not buying it.
No, they're not buying it. And the fact that they only get that the Trump side only gets 10 strikes with the jury pool that they currently have. Only 10 strikes. I mean, they're going to need way more than that at the very least. I mean, they can't get any breaks in this thing. And you know when it becomes very obvious in this moment is when people that don't like Trump are calling it out. And right. Bill Barr does not like Donald Trump. And he says the case is an abomination. He calls it obviously political, pointing out the timing of the prosecution some 7 years later, right at the peak. You know, they plan it so it just comes right up here as we're moving into the spring and into the summer before an election. I mean, if Bill Barr is calling that out, that means something.
Yeah, you have Bill Barr, you have Stephen A. Smith calling it out. You have people who are looking at this and are smart enough to realize the implications of something like this for the future of our country. Because if this is the precedent we are setting right now, if we're saying, hey, we're just going to change the law whenever it's convenient for us and whenever we can attack a political opponent with it, then think about what that means for the future of this country. Yeah, it's sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows right now for the Democrats because they're the ones in charge and they're the ones pulling the string. And it's Donald Trump forced to sit in a courtroom right now.
Laura Trump on Rob Schmidt tonight. House Speaker Mike Johnson's foreign aid bill providing billions of dollars to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan moved forward last night after the House Rules Committee reconvened to vote 9-3 on the funding. The three no votes coming from Republican reps Tom Massey of Kentucky, Ralph Norman of South Carolina, and Chip Roy of Texas, who voted against it because border security was not being paired up with the foreign aid, as we've been talking about and they've been talking about for months. Speaker Johnson said he's putting an aggressive border bill to a vote today, or he's hoping to. He spoke with Greta Van Susteren last night.
A lot of the criticism of this bill is our own southern border. And I know that you have that some conservatives in your house want to include the southern border in this bill. What's your explanation to the American people as to, you know, why this aid to Ukraine while we have this border issue?
So the border is the number one priority of the House Republicans. We fight for it here every single day. I've been doing it since I became Speaker and way before. Since Joe Biden entered the Oval Office, he's created an absolute catastrophe at the border, and you and I don't need to recount all the statistics and the parade of horribles that has come out of that. We must fix it. The American people demand it, and we fight every day. I've been trying to push the president to use his executive authority to close that border, and he refuses to do it. We passed H.R. 2, our signature legislation, the Secure the Border Act, that would fix every one of these problems. It's been sitting on Chuck Schumer's desk for over a year. We have continued to work every single day. We've passed resolutions. But again, remember what we said at the outset. We only control one chamber, and I barely have control of that. I can't. The Senate won't advance our legislation, and the president won't sign it. He won't fulfill his obligation. So why is the border not in this package? Because, Greta, we didn't have the votes to do it. I have a handful of my Republicans, at least, who will not advance a rule to bring that to the floor to combine it with the Ukraine and Israel funding. They won't do it. And so if I don't have Republican votes, that means we have to have Democrat votes. Yeah.
That's House Speaker Mike Johnson on with Greta, who noted one very important new provision in the aid to Ukraine.
The bill, which is about $61 billion to Ukraine, is that one of, in the Senate bill and the House bill have to be reconciled. You both have to agree on the same thing. The House wants to put a portion of that as a loan to Ukraine. The Senate bill does not have that. And can you explain that to me? Because, I mean, it might be more appealing to the House if it were a loan. And we know that even if we loan money to Ukraine, we can later forgive it. You know, we forgive loans often. So why? Tell me about that loan provision and why it maybe you have some idea why the Senate won't make that a loan to Ukraine rather than just be giving them the money.
Well, the Senate's going to have to now, and that's a really important question. What we did was we rejected the Senate supplemental bill because it was everything merged into one, and it didn't have some of these important features that we want in the bill. So we redrafted it, and we're going to send them a House supplemental bill that's very different. For one thing, we broke it into four pieces. We have the Israel component, the Ukraine component, the Indo-Pacific component, and then we have a fourth bill that is in this package that has a lot of our innovations included, like the Repo Act, where we use the seized assets of corrupt Russian oligarchs to fund the opposition in Ukraine. Everybody thinks that makes sense. President Trump is credited with really advancing this idea of the loan concept, to your point. And so what we've done is we say any of the funding that goes to Ukraine for this governmental assistance is in the form of a loan. That's in our package that the House will be voting on early Saturday. The rule is being finished up tonight to make that possible. We've also included a lot of other things, like increasing sanctions against Iran and Russia. We're going to change the strategy and have a lot more oversight and accountability over the funds, because that's what the American people deserve. But as I've said so many times in the last 24 hours, you know, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. We don't want to have boots on the ground. We can prevent that by allowing them to hold Putin at bay. And I think, Greta, very frankly, that Donald Trump, when he's elected, I think he can broker a peace over there. But we got to at least allow the Ukrainians to defend themselves until we get to that point.
He thinks Trump can put an end to it. As you know, Donald Trump has been saying all along that if he were president, the war in Ukraine wouldn't have even been happening. And he has also said that he will be able to end it when he's reelected. The invasion of Ukraine, this one at least, began in February of 2022, more than 2 years ago. And what have we done to end it other than give Ukraine $100+ billion? Nobody has any real accurate numbers, $100 billion, $200 billion, but that's all we've done. Speaker Johnson taking a lot of heat from fellow Republicans for his handling of the aid bill and funding, or lack thereof, for the border.
All right. Well, it's no secret that you, as a leader of the House, it's a very different role than just being a member of Congress. You've got to lead the whole place, Republicans and Democrats. You only have a two-person majority right now. It's going to go down to one next week. Tell me, if this bill having to do with foreign aid, would it be a different bill if you had a, let's say, a 10 or 15 vote majority?
Yeah, absolutely, Greta. It would, of course. Remember, and I have to remind people at home all the time, Republicans here only control, of course, one chamber of Congress. We only have the House, and to your point, we barely have that. Next week, we'll be down again to the smallest majority in U.S. history, a one-vote margin. And that means if I want to pass legislation that I love, I've got to get every single Republican on board. And then even if we do that, Greta, remember, everybody remembers from civics class, there's two chambers of Congress, right? We send it over, as we've done for many pieces of legislation, to the Senate. And Chuck Schumer and the Democrats control the Senate. Oh, and of course, we have a Democrat in the White House. So it makes it very challenging for us to get 100% of what we want on anything. It's actually impossible. And that's why all of our legislation is sitting on Chuck Schumer's desk collecting dust right now. So when it comes to a bill like this, we fight hard. We get as much as we can on the product, and we try to take care of these obligations. And you know, as Reagan reminded us, I'd rather get 80% of what I want than go over the cliff with a flag waving. And we got to remind ourselves of that every day here.
House Speaker Mike Johnson there on the record with Greta Van Susteren channeling Ronald Reagan as a means of defense. There is no doubt, no doubt, it is a very tough job. Congress will be working over the weekend and is expected to vote on the bill tomorrow. So we will see over the weekend how it all plays out. Obviously, we'll be talking about that on Monday. As for Johnson's job being on the line, this is Congressman Tim Burchett on Wake Up America this morning with Rob Finity.
Congressman, he was with, we're showing video of Mike Johnson with your party's presumptive nominee on Saturday down in Florida. So that to me is an endorsement. Now, I know that Donald Trump was asked outside a bodega on Tuesday, you know, what's going to happen with Mike Johnson? And Trump said, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I would watch what he does more than what he says, as we've learned with Donald Trump. If he's inviting Mike Johnson down to Mar-a-Lago, that's an endorsement. What's the deal with House Republicans? Why can't they get it together?
I think we're frustrated that we're more concerned about other countries' borders. You know, when Mike Johnson ran for speaker, you know, he was against FISA. He's strong on our border. He was against more money for Ukraine. And now all those things we
Well, then why'd you guys make him speaker? I mean, he's, you know, it's not like he's a freshman in Congress. You know the kind of guy Mike Johnson is. You took eight to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. Right now, my list, and if you've got another name, I'd be curious, but I've got Ana Paulina Luna, Andy Biggs, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and, of course, Thomas Massie.
Okay. Well, I don't know about two of those. I'd be a little surprised on a couple of those, but, you know, it really doesn't matter. I suspect.
Which two do you suspect are not?
I'm not sure about Andy Biggs or Luna. I've been with them a lot here in the last couple of days. I was with Luna and her husband and her little baby Henry last night.
Yep.
A meeting. So, and I didn't feel like that was where that was headed, but maybe I'm wrong. But it really doesn't matter because so many members have, I think we've, some folks have gone home. And so the numbers are trending in that
it's
direction.
Just, Congressman, it's just a mess. And we've talked about this. Look, we're 7 months from the election, and you're going to oust another Speaker of the House. And you know what? Middle America and Tennessee and even where I am here in New York, people look at that and they don't necessarily know all the details, but they just sense the utter disarray that is Republicans in the House of Representatives. And it's kind of embarrassing at this point. I just don't get it. It doesn't help Donald Trump. It should be all about November and getting Donald Trump back to the White House. Instead, it's this stuff. Are there any other names that you think that could vote to oust him if it comes to that?
I know a couple others, but I know one for certain. Until they come forward, I'm not going to say it's their business, but I think it's a bad idea on their part. Honestly, all we're doing is giving the gavel to the Democrats.
Yeah.
And you will see. And, you know, that.
Congressman, why don't you call out your colleagues right here? If you don't want this to happen, call them out.
I don't think that does any good. That just entrenches them even more if you know the mentality of folks like this.
Or it could give them pause to have second thoughts. You know, it could work both ways.
They'll have plenty of pause, but I just don't think it's a good idea. I think it's a terrible idea on their part to even do it.
Tennessee Rep. Tim Burchett, who is also against the funding for Ukraine.
Just quickly. Ukraine funding, does the vote happen tomorrow?
I believe it does, and I think it's a terrible idea. Once again, they're going to say it's going to be some kind of loan. And you and I both know there's no loan there. We'll end up rebuilding their infrastructure. Ultimately, I no matter what happens, they've got no plan to victory. They've got no plan other than to take our money. And we don't really know where it's going. I think it's a bad idea. It's Europe's war. Let them fight it.
Again, Tennessee Congressman Tim Burchard on Wake Up America with co-host Rob Finnerty. On Wall Street, stocks hit the skids overnight with word of Israel's attack on Iran. The market's opening in the red this morning. The S&P 500 working on its worst week in about 6 months. Two big headlines jumping out at me on Yahoo Finance today that you need to know. Number one, mortgage rates will likely hit 8% in the next few months. That's a quote from the headline. That's not me. Mortgage rates will likely hit 8% in the next few months. And the Northeast will see a stiff increase in gas prices. They didn't say likely. They didn't say could or may. Northeast will see a stiff increase in gas prices.
Bidenomics.
How about those two headlines to kick off your weekend? And you can't use your credit cards while you're doing stuff or hoping to do stuff over the weekend because the interest rates are 25, 26, 27%. Be sure to keep up with all of the news today and all weekend long on Newsmax. Don't forget about Wake Up America Weekend Edition, Saturday and Sunday, 7 a.m. Eastern. Saturday and Sunday Report, The Agenda, America Right Now, The Gorka Reality Check with Sebastian Gorka, and much, much more. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Newsmax Daily. I'm Tony Marino. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a fantastic and safe weekend. And keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.